Continuing our discussion of Libya now, joining us is Bruce Gentleson, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. He's a former State Department senior advisor. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
And too bad about that whole NCAA thing. I'm sure you don't want to think about that anymore,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're in recovery mode.
There you go, right. Duke, of course, out of the NCAA tournament. Let's just talk about some of the details that are actually kind of perplexing from my standpoint here. Is this history in Libya for Gaddafi, for some tribes represent the opposition? Again, we don't really necessarily know even who they are. Is it a history for NATO, which has now taken fully over this operation and the U.S. has stepped back? And will it be historic for the president to address the nation and basically say, we were in Libya for a couple of days, but now we're working for the NATO and the international community?
Yeah, I think that it's the president's most important foreign policy speech so far tonight. He has to make two key points and make them in ways that really resonate with the American people. One is the why and one is the how. On the why, he's got to make the point that there genuinely was a threat, you can never know for sure, but of mass killings at the hands of Gaddafi, and that this really was motivated in part to prevent that kind of really awful thing happening. You can't prevent all terrible things in the world, but this one, you know, had the possibility of becoming really extreme. But also it's about interests. You know, that while people say, well, we only get 2% of our oil from Libya, it's really about how what happens in Libya affects the rest of the region. And so the goal here was a mix of our interests, you know, and our values.
And
on the how.
Well, go ahead on the how.
Yeah, you know, this is the nature of the kind of conflicts we face here in the 21st century. You know, they're not so simple as saying, oh, we go in and you defeat a military. They're much more complex, but he has to make the case that we have an objective here, that we've accomplished part of it, that we do have others. It's not so much that we're working for others. NATO is an alliance, and the American military is key to it. We've put together a coalition of a lot of countries in an unprecedented way, including Western and Arab countries. And he has to make the case that there are objectives that we're going to achieve. He can't undersell it. He can't, you know, keep feeding into this sense that we're going to be out in a couple of days. But he also has to convey that this is not going to be an open-ended commitment.
But it seems, Bruce Gentleson, that the message, this is not Iraq, folks, almost blows everything else out of the water.
Well, it's a limited objective. I think it's clear. Two things need to remain clear. One is we're not sending in ground troops. And the other is we're not going to go in and try to rebuild Libya. We do want to get rid of Gaddafi. And then the goal for us and others is to try to work with the forces within Libya, frankly, to prevent the worst-case scenarios. We're not going to have a Thomas Jefferson democracy anywhere in the Arab world. But there are ways to do that without necessarily going in. We saw in Iraq what happens when you go in and you try to remake a state in your own image. It doesn't work, and it's extremely costly in many ways to the United States.
We're speaking to Bruce Gentleson, who's a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, former State Department senior advisor. So I'm wondering, Bruce, if the fact that we get so little oil from Libya, the fact that we have, you know, relatively few strategic interests in this country works for the president. Can he make this into sort of a reflection of perhaps the Balkans, that this is a humanitarian war only, and in the end that will help him?
I wouldn't say only, because I think it isn't only. I mean, I think the sense is that if you were an Arab dictator out there and the outside world didn't come in to do something about Gaddafi, you'd say to yourself, he's worse than I am. They're not going to do anything about me. So there was a strategic message here that is supposed to affect the rest of the region. So it really is a mix of the humanitarian and the strategic. You know, the upside is if, in fact, this works and civilians are protected and ultimately Gaddafi falls, it's something really to build on. You know, you put together a coalition. It's a little messy. But if it works, and you had, you know, countries like the United Arab Emirates and Qatar actually joining in, you know, a very strong UN resolution. And, you know, the doubts about multilateral action is, sounds nice, but does it work? And if this works, it really could be something to build on in a whole lot of different ways that are not just about military action.
But I'm wondering, again, to go back to Iraq, I mean, Colonel Gaddafi presumably saw the invasion of Iraq and the public execution of Saddam Hussein that hardly constrained him when push came to shove in Libya.
Well, he did. There's no accounting for how Gaddafi makes his own calculations. He's not crazy, but it doesn't mean he always, you know, makes them in a strategic way.
But then that says that there's no really strategic message to the Gaddafis or the Kim Jong-ils of the world in an operation like this.
Well, there is. I mean, if it's demonstrated that he can't do what he wants to do, and if particularly it leads to his fall, that is quite a message to others around the world.
All right, then let's talk about the ground troops. Do you think that President Obama paints himself into a corner or makes himself less than flexible? Should we actually need humanitarian peacekeeping troops on the ground? We're not out of the woods on a humanitarian disaster here.
That's right. And there's probably, I think it's fair to speculate that there are a few sort of special forces types, you know, running around Egypt right now, whether they're American or British or Egyptian. You know, one doesn't know for sure, but my guess is there's some coordinating, at least with the rebels. And, you know, one might call that Nikes on the ground rather than boots on the ground. What happens afterwards, you know, could conceivably be a UN peacekeeping mission. And those very rarely have significant numbers of American troops. It's the ones that we initiate ourselves. So I don't think that that's necessarily going to happen. And if it does, I think it's something that others, the Europeans and others in the world, will probably step forward and bear the brunt of those.
All right, Bruce Jenilson, listen to this Bob Gates comment over the weekend.
In virtually every country in the region, there is turbulence. And we are in dark territory. When you think back of what has happened in just 2 months, this is really an extraordinary challenge for the administration and, frankly, for other governments around the world in terms of how do we react to this? How do we deal with this?
Defense Secretary Bob Gates, Bruce Jenilson, is the administration up to the task of this extraordinary dark territory?
This is going to define the administration because it's going to have to define in different ways in different parts of the Arab world. Nobody saw this coming, but right now it totally redefines it. And the only thing we know for sure is the old deal that we support people that are bad guys, but they do what we want, no longer pertains. We're going to have to find a way to make peaceful change possible or face more violence.
History in the making. Bruce Jenilson, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, commenting on Libya. Thanks so much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.